Hi, I'm Cameron.
And I'm Emily.
I've never read Twilight before.
And I've read the books too many times to count, but now we're reading them together.
Welcome to Unbitten, a journey through the Twilight Saga. Hi, everybody.
Hello. Guess what?
Hi. What?
It's Aries season.
Oh my god, it is!
Our favorite time of year where we're the most powerful.
Yeah, and the most insane.
Yeah.
My birthday's in like a week and a day from recording time.
Wow, true it is. Mine is in just under 2 weeks. A day under 2 weeks.
Wow.
Wow.
We know our birthdays.
We're
so smart. Well, I don't know if I can count. I don't know if we should go that far, but you know.
Okay, well.
That's just me.
I'm spreading propaganda that we can count.
Oh, okay, good. Actually, I feel like we need that.
Yeah, we need something in our favor.
Yeah, for too long have we seemed illiterate.
Yeah, illiterate for counting?
Oh, wait. Well, I feel like it's still like in the same vein.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Please give me this.
Okay, I'll give it to you. You know what?
Thanks.
Sure, you can
have
this one.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I need it. If my voice is lower than usual, it's because I just woke up from a nap.
A little so nappy nap.
I'm all sexy man morning voice.
I love that we're exactly the same with that too, because obviously when I first wake up, I'm like, I sound like a man. I just woke up, guys.
Well, because there's also like the whole like, oh my god, his voice is so gravelly. Just woke up. Oh my god, he's so hot. And so when I'm like low gravelly voice, I'm like, like, have you ever seen those things of like Valorant eaters? Like that meme?
Or
it's like, okay, it's like where it'll be like, this is what every like eater couple sounds like in a Valorant game or like any of those cup games. And it's just like, the girl is like, whatever you want, baby. And then the guy is like, and he's like so forcing his voice to be so low that you can like barely understand him.
Yeah.
And it's like the joke that like they're both like over like feminizing and over masculinizing their like voices in like within like the game. Because they're like, I don't know, because it's like in like team chat, like in the game too. So it's just the guy's like, and the guy's like, oh my god, that was such a cool kill. Oh my god. It's just that.
Wow, you have the range.
Thank you. I do. Yeah. I could be an eater if someone wanted me.
Okay.
All right. Someone take me to jail.
Take me to jail.
I worship like a dog.
At the shrine of your jail.
Jail. Yeah. We knew what we were doing there.
Yeah, we did.
Both of us knew it wasn't going to sound good or it wasn't going to be anything effective at all, but we were going to say jail at least two other times. Okay, sorry.
You know what? This is really boding well for when you come over to my house in a week and a half.
Yay! Oh my god.
That's literally next weekend.
It's gonna be such a pain. It is gonna be next weekend. Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Let's fucking go. Like, let's fucking go. It's gonna be fun. We're gonna have fun.
Yeah.
Swear. Or else. We're gonna have fun, or so help me God. Are we gonna be in Toronto at all? Will I see my arch nemesis?
There's no plans to go to see her whatsoever.
Okay. I'll just like know that I'm an hour from her and like be afraid.
Yeah.
If anyone's wondering, I don't know if I said it. I think I said it on the podcast.
I think
my
arch.
What is it? The CN?
CN Tower. It's not CNN. It's not a news station.
Well, could be. I have a vendetta against CNN. No, the CN Tower. It's too tall. Well, who let it be that tall? I don't like it.
It's not even the tallest in the world anymore. So, like, what's the point?
Yeah. Right.
Like, at least it served a purpose.
I don't think I would like the tallest in the world either.
Hmm?
I don't think I would like the tallest building in the world either.
No, that would make me unhappy too. Like, oh, why did they do this? I'm like, well, at least it had a reason. But now it's like, just like end it all because it's not.
At this point, just tear it down.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, if you guys didn't know, because we didn't make it glaringly obvious, this is a podcast about Twilight.
We read the books and we talk about them, but also we just talk about anything else on our minds ever, forever. You're trapped. Yeah. You're with us.
Yeah.
Don't hit pause. Don't close Spotify. You're trapped.
Nuh-uh. You're stuck in here with me. Okay. Well, we should get into, you know, maybe the podcast, the book.
The chapter. We're reading chapters
21 and 22.
Yeah. No, we're not.
What are we reading?
Chapters 31 and 32.
Oh, I did write that down.
You did that the last time, too. You said the complete wrong chapters.
I said 30 and 31 last time.
Yeah, you did.
I have 31 and 32 written down, and I looked at 31 and 32, and then I said 21 and 22.
Mm-hmm.
I can't keep getting away with this, I say, as I haven't gotten away with it.
As you've never gotten away with
it. Evan keeps calling me out because I'm wrong.
You are not beating those illiterate allegations about numbers.
I can't count or read.
Well, boy, is Twilight the perfect book for you.
Yeah, it's fucking barely anything. All right. Chapter 31 is called Talented.
Yeah.
Shockingly, Bella's talented.
Who would have thought?
Not me. So it starts off with like, The werewolves are still being underestimated by vampires. And yeah. On the one hand, at first when I read this, I was like, why do people keep underestimating them? Like, we've seen again and again that they can put up a fair fight.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other hand of this, I never really realized, like, what can they even do against vampire superpowers? They have no superpowers. It's just like, maybe they're faster or stronger. That's like all that delineates werewolves.
Yeah, they're literally just big, fast, strong. Which, like, is fine, because a lot of vampires are just fast, strong. So, like, it's not like they're overly powered or underly powered. I just think they're not, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
The worst thing ever.
Oh, God. Sorry, TikTok just opened. Never mind. I don't know why that happened. It's, like, the only thing that really differentiates them is, like, the alpha bullshit that...
Right.
I don't even, whatever. But that's not, okay, but that's just a matter of if they are faster and stronger and more powerful than other werewolves. It's not really
a
towards vampires thing. So I don't really know.
The thing about them is that a regular wolf would not be able to bite a vampire's arm off, you know?
Yeah.
Like, their teeth can't actually do anything. We even see that Bella fighting the mountain lion. Earlier on. So I guess, like, really it's like, oh shit, it's an animal that's really fast, and when it bites us, it actually hurts and they actually injure us. So that's new.
Yeah, is it like, do Tanya and them not realize that about werewolves, or do they just think that that's not enough?
I think it's the sense that they're still mortal is why they think, like, they're weak, because you give... Like, a grave injury is different for a vampire versus a wolf. Like, a wolf still has a heartbeat and everything. Like,
true.
Stab him in a heart, and that wolf's not getting up.
Yeah. Shot through the heart, and you're to blame, for sure. Yeah,
but, like, they probably don't know about, like, their crazy healing abilities, too, because they heal super fast, also.
That's true.
So,
yeah,
I don't know.
We'll see. Bella's a shield.
Bella's a shield? What, did you just call my wife? Yeah. Oh, sorry. Shield is a slur. My bad. I should say it. Yeah, defensive
you should have
action.
Known this. Jeez.
So
she can shield herself or block all outside influences pretty much.
Yeah.
And it's so powerful that she's been doing it since she was a human, and it's been completely unconscious.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool. I like the idea. This reminds me of, like, mind shielding in a lot of fantasy books.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, do this. So I like this. I find it cool that she's just been doing it the whole time.
Yeah. It's another one of those cases of her being like, oh shit, so as a vampire, I'm just fucking good at shit. Here's another thing I didn't even know I was good at before, but it's a whole thing.
Well, the two other things, like, even though she was so convinced she was bad at everything as a human, she was so powerful and good at this thing that she wasn't even aware. Like, she wasn't even aware of it.
Yeah.
And obviously, she would have no way to know until she interacted with vampires, at least. I mean, I think if she had interacted with Eliezer before, maybe he still would have sussed it out.
He probably would have. I don't know if he can
suss out when humans are showing, like, traits that could become vampire superpowers, or if it's just vampire superpowers.
I bet he probably
doesn't interact with humans enough to know.
Well, I think he does, because there's some mention of, like, acquiring Alec and Jane, about them being, like, purposely turned.
Oh, I didn't hear I didn't know that part.
Maybe it, I swear it was said earlier in this book, but whatever. It's
probably whatever. Either way.
Either way.
That makes sense.
I have to say,
Bella's
though,
fucking stupid. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's what I was going to say. Bella's being fucking stupid. She's being so obtuse.
You tell me how you think she's being stupid, and I'll tell you how I think she's being stupid.
Okay, so the line that I have written down is, blocking him, I'm standing there right beside him, not being defensive in any way. And I'm like, my guy, like, this is the guy who detects powers and called you a shield. Can you,
like,
not?
Why are you questioning it?
Like, why are you not putting two and two together? What happened to your rapid vampire brain that connects dots, like, super fast? It's
my thing was that she's like, how can I be a shield? What does that even mean? And she's like, all I can picture was a ridiculous medieval suit of armor. What about a medieval shield?
Yes, I have this.
What about? You didn't even think of a shield? You thought of a suit of armor?
I have to say, literally, that's my next section, is how can I be a shield? What does that mean? Girl, you block Edward's thoughts constantly. That's been, like, a whole point of these whole books. It's not that hard to understand.
My issue with it is that she visualizes something that isn't even... She knows what a fucking shield is, like,
she
as
does.
A physical object.
Right.
And she very much chooses to... Imagine she something that isn't a shield.
Yeah.
Like, she's halfway there. Medieval.
Yeah.
But why a suit of armor and not a medieval shield?
Shield. All I could think
They're
about
used
was armor.
All the
instead
time.
Of the thing that they hold, a sword and shield. Like
a shield. The thing that they literally just called it a shield.
I get that there's a fun tension of characters putting together pieces and realizing something, but not when you have to make them ridiculously stupid in order for that to come together in a slow piece by piece. It just makes your character look like an idiot.
I think this absolutely, and this is like the more extreme version of what I was complaining about, I think, the last time, about like Tanya and all of them being averse to Renesmee,
right,
and like making those decisions too quickly and refusing to listen, blah, blah, blah. And I still think that scene was drawn out a little bit longer than it needed to be, but It wasn't this bad.
It wasn't. No, it
like,
wasn't.
I was complaining about that without knowing that this was coming. Like, this is just, it's not just that she's purposefully averse to it, but she's just so, like, it's just weird that she's so fucking dumb. Like,
she's just dumb. She's literally going, I don't understand what these words mean. What does this mean? What does that mean? And I'm like, how, like, you're supposed to be well-read. You read Shakespeare and shit, right?
Right.
How do you not just take the word shield and go, oh yeah, I've been blocking Edward's thoughts. Shield. Block.
I get it.
That.
Yeah, exactly. You can understand, even if you're like, but a shield is usually external, like for physical things. Like, you can think that and then go, oh, but I'm doing it internally. Like, I can understand that train of thought, maybe, where she doesn't have any concept of like mind protection.
Sure, yeah.
Because, of course, we are people who are well read in the fantasy.
Yeah, so we're like, oh, yeah.
Such that we see this all the time where there are mind readers. And people always have to train to block their thoughts. So that's something that's very like normal for us. But even if you don't have that, you can go,
context
okay, I get
clues.
The concept of a shield that is physical, that blocks physical attacks. You're telling me that this is a shield that blocks mental attacks or anything mentally.
Yeah.
And as like a defensive thing. And okay, that makes sense.
Well, it's such an obvious connection, because it's not like she only has Edward's ability to work with. Like, she knows that she blocks Aro and she blocks Jane. And now Eliezer is telling her the same fucking thing.
Yep.
Like, put it all together. You've been blocking all of these people like a shield. Idiot.
Yeah, she's dumb. I don't. It's a really cool power, though. It's cool to see it come to light. Like, yeah. I'm glossing over that because I think the way it's like represented and the way she reacts to it is really fucking silly. But I do really like that this is an explanation for all that. Because, you know, the whole time you're sort of like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think I necessarily, I don't know if I ever guessed this or hinted at guessing it.
I don't think so.
I looking back at it, I'm like, I should have just been like, she probably just is blocking everything. But I guess I don't know. Because I know that, again, like we said, I know this concept. Like, I should have been like, that could be it.
Yeah.
But I didn't. So it's cool. It was a good reveal. And it was one of those reveals that makes a lot of sense. I think that sometimes in these books, we get a reveal that is a lot of like, either stuff is hidden from us the whole time so that we're not able to make that decision, or it just like is kind of nonsensical.
Yeah.
Or a lot of times even like when powers are revealed for main characters that are previously quote unquote powerless.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times they're convenient, or they're like, you're the savior of the world.
Right. Like, it's like, you're the chosen one. Not really nobody else has this ability.
Right. And there's like not really a lot of in-betweens, or it's like for plot convenience, you are gifted like this ridiculous power for like no real reason.
Yeah.
Other than like they're the main character. Like, so I do like that this is, and I talk about this later, how it just makes sense because she has always cared about protecting herself and the people she loves.
Yeah.
So her power manifesting this way really isn't surprising to me. In fact, it like just it makes a lot of sense to me.
It's thematically really like rewarding.
It. Yeah, it is. Stephanie Meyer did something right once.
Yeah.
One time.
The other funny thing with this reveal is the way he says, pardon my formality, we call all blocking talents a shield. Like, it needs more explanation. Like, oh, sorry, you didn't understand shield because I was using formal
shield
terms.
Shield and not blocking.
Yeah.
Like, hello. I'm like,
hello, literally.
I also find it really funny that we're learning so much fucking vampire power lore for being 80% through the last book of a 4-book series, but whatever.
We get to these chapters and Stephanie Meyer's like, what if we assembled the Avengers? What if we put together the X-Men, but they're vampires?
Yeah, the X-Men. Get it? They used to be men and now they're vampires.
Oh my god, now they're vampires. They used to be men, but now they're trans.
Yay! The X-Men. Finally.
A group of trans women with superpowers.
That's what we've all been waiting for, honestly. That would be great. That would be a great, like, I don't know if that's been done, even in, like a great, like, parody spinoff, just, like, having that be a thing.
I like the idea of it.
That's funny. But, yeah, it's silly that we're like, suddenly everyone is here and everyone has powers, and also we're learning so much about powers, and also people that you've met before have powers and we just didn't really talk about it that much.
Truly. So speaking of people that we've met before, Kate, it turns out, can project electricity from her hands and learned over time to spread it over all of her skin, but it took a lot of work to extend her power that way. So she's like, but you can teach yourself, Bella. I did it. Didn't know that about her before. I guess it wasn't relevant to Bella's journey.
Right. Like, we never even got, like, hey, Bella, watch it. Like,
not a hint. Nothing.
Whatever.
another little bone to pick where we're going to have to do some mental gymnastics to make this make sense.
Mm-hmm.
How come the shocks don't work against Bella? So it's a pretend shock. It's an illusion of a shock, not real electricity. Or is it because it's literally, well, but I was going to say if it's literally affecting her nervous system like electricity does, but I'm like, but Jasper literally affects her nervous system.
So via maybe
his emotions.
Then maybe those two things are things that kind of can slip by.
But the shocks don't work against her.
Oh, so true. Fuck.
Right.
I was thinking of Edward when Edward gets it.
Right. Yes.
But yeah.
No. And then
also, why does Jasper's work?
Right. Why does Jasper's work? Why does Renesmee's work?
Oh my god. Yeah.
why can Renesmee put her thoughts into Bella's brain? The only reason would be is her power is more powerful than Bella's because she's able to project very strong.
Yeah, my other thing that I could conceptualize, which is like it's kind of hard to 100%, like, I don't know. Hear me out and then we'll debate it. Okay. But like it is her daughter. She is not shielding against her daughter. Even if it's unconscious, but like she still shields against her mate, which is kind of weird. But like is she that open towards her daughter that like subconsciously it just doesn't, you know what I mean?
I would have agreed with that if not for the next chapter where she does actually project it to cover Renesmee for the first time and blocks out Zafrina's power.
But I guess it's more, she never attempts to block Renesmee out from herself. She's just blocking other things from Renesmee. I feel like that's different from blocking herself.
Yeah.
Encompassing it in a way of like, use it, like putting it over Renesmee to get the same effect that she does rather than, I don't know, like it's not the same as like.
I don't know.
I don't know what I'm trying to say.
She describes it as such a difficult effort to move it that she's never, like, tried before. And it takes her anger to do it before she finally realizes what the shape is and what it looks like. So, I mean, I like the idea. I'm just not convinced that Stephenie Meyer thought of it that way. I think she just decided Renesmee has a really cool power.
Stephenie Meyer thinks of a lot of things.
No, she's just like, Renesmee can project her thoughts and it works on everyone.
I think I'm more annoyed with the Jasper's one working than I am with Renesmee's, honestly. Because I'm like, why the fuck does Jasper work? Like it feels like we're all just kind of being like, yeah, I guess that works. Sure, why not?
I guess
like, why?
It just feels like Renesmee's power is such an extension of what Edward's is that I'm like, why?
But why is Jasper the literal only exception before Renesmee existed? Like,
I know. No, I still agree with you that Jasper's doesn't make any sense.
And I mean, to an extent, Alice's, but I think like,
I think
I think Alice's is more external in terms of like she sees the general future and Bella is there. It's not really.
She doesn't need to read Bella's mind to be like, I saw the future and Bella was at the shop. She was physically there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because but to be fair, Alice does sometimes go like. But she doesn't know what decision has necessarily changed.
It's true. That's
she
happened before.
She just knows that a decision changes, so the outcome changes. But I feel like she usually gets a sense of what the decision change is.
There's been a time, though, where she's like, wait, what did you just decide? Because the
future
changed.
Totally. I was trying to remember if she did know or not. But I think she gets the idea of the future changing, but she doesn't ever get to like look internally necessarily.
Yeah, she only sees like what the results are.
Right, what the physical outcome is of their internal decisions.
Yeah. But yeah, Jasper annoys me. Renesmee still does annoy me because I feel like it's just such an obvious mind thing. She's projecting thoughts the same way Zafrina is projecting images.
A forest, yeah.
A forest. I'm like, all right.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I get it. I think on the one hand, I can kind of forgive it, but I wish like.
Where's the consistency?
I agree. I still agree with you. I'm giving that one I would give that one the most of a pass.
Right.
Like out of all of them.
Sure.
Like Jasper's definitely annoys me more than Renesmee's. There's just something about like.
Well, that's what I mean.
I am so unshielded to her that maybe it just like passes through.
Well, because I have the reverse.
That still doesn't like make.
Yeah,
consistent sense.
I have the reverse where maybe Renesmee's power is just stronger than Bella's, and the projection element of it overpowers a shield because it is a strong projection.
Yeah.
That's also possible. I'd allow it.
But then, does that mean that Jasper's power is that strong too? Like,
could
is Jasper
be.
More powerful
I mean,
than Bella?
We don't know that. Maybe.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know.
But they just are like, no. His is physical.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
All right.
Anyway,
so there's some silent discussion going on, and we hear from Elizur, can you think of even one exception? Why would, like, would it even matter? What have I done? How many lives?
Mm-hmm.
And it's this realization that in the time that he worked with the Volturi, there's been a pattern Why is the entire Volturi coming out with their wives, their whole forces, to come to punish when in past crimes, Covens have joined forces to protect themselves, but the Volturi, like, still won. But the pattern is that when Aro personally attends, convenient evidence comes up that there's a crime and there's happens to be someone who had more repentant or innocent thoughts, and Aro would give them mercy and allow them to join the Volturi. And that person would be very grateful and quickly went over and be like, yeah, I'm happy to join. Thank you for sparing my life.
Yeah.
How convenient that person was always someone super powerful.
That Aro coveted. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And he's like, so he's like, oh my God, the Volturi, like, they've been corrupt. They're corrupt. What? That's crazy.
I'm obsessed with the politics that we've, I don't know. I think it's silly to me because we've been for four books like, yeah, these guys fucking suck.
Yeah.
And I did say, like, it's cool to see a perspective of someone as seeing them as benevolent as and as the good guys and the peacekeepers. Yeah. But it is also funny to have us be like, we're like, all the readers are like, yeah, duh. Like, this isn't really surprising. And Eliezer's like, oh my God, no.
And we're all just like, so many people.
We're like, yeah, you did. What?
Also, there's some girl named Chelsea who can make people feel either less tightly bound together or to make other people's bonds feel tighter together. So she can make someone feel less attached to their own coven and more attached to the Volturi at the end to make them very quickly flip sides and save them from the other slaughter and be like, no, don't protect those coven members. Mm-hmm. You don't even like them that much.
And then Eliezer also says that they always felt the Volturi always felt very well bonded and
and he's like, maybe sort of suspected
that Chelsea kept their band more tightly knit, but he didn't mind at the time because, you know, it helps them work better together. They're more effective. They don't fight as much. I mean, I know they were newborns, but we see what happens when a lot of vampires with somewhat conflicting interests get in a space for too long.
And they're all Volturi, want blood and territory.
Yeah. And I mean, we don't really see how much the Volturi really go out of their underground kingdom too.
Yeah.
So it's like they're probably spending just as much time together as that whole newborn coven was.
Yeah.
So what's up with, like, how do they not rip each other apart?
Probably this because is interesting because Eliezer also mentions, like, you know, they did let me leave though. Like, I was allowed to leave with Carmen, but is it possible maybe that the bond that I felt with Carmen was stronger than what Chelsea's power could make me feel? Like, I don't know.
Right. If there's something about, like, Carmen's mate, like his that mate. Makes it stronger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, mates.
Sorry.
Mates are such a silly thing.
Oh, mates.
They're fun.
And it's so, like, so prevalent in so many, like, fantasy books. And I'm just like, cool. But also, I'm going to hit my head against the wall. And I see this as someone who loves Sarah J. Maas for a lot of reasons, but I still am like, oh my God.
So anyway, the ending thought really is here that maybe this is why Alice left, because Aro has never wanted anything more than he wants Alice.
Yeah, so Edward read that in his mind that he has coveted Alice more than anything else in his life or dead life.
Undeadness.
Unlife.
His unalivedness.
Yeah. Okay, TikTok.
Yeah, right. she must have left to prevent, like, Chelsea's gift from acting on her and making her potentially turn against her coven and being acquired by Aro. And maybe, and even for Bella, she's like, oh shit, well now he must have suspected, like, I was a shield this whole time. And we already know he still does want Edward. Like, even if he Alice more, she's like, should we fear capture more than death?
Right. And how many, I mean, so Alice and Jasper are gone.
Yeah.
Who else in the coven, in the Cullens, have powers?
Just Edward.
Just Edward and now and Bella. So they're like the next step.
Exactly.
So, I mean, Alice, my guess would be that Alice maybe saw, or to an extent, maybe Alice saw that they would be the ones coveted. Mm-hmm. But then did she not think, like, when we peace out, like,
the next best,
Edward and Bella. And yeah, in this way, because I mean, it would be the same with Alice and Jasper, but because like they're mates, then he can kind of get a 2-for-1 deal.
Yeah, like
he kind of gets a BOGO situation. Aro is going shopping at the vampire thrift store, and it's a BOGO. And
one
really
Alice
excited.
Get one piss boy free.
Yeah, by one Edward get one weird, anxious immortal for free.
So anyway, tires roll up. Peter and Charlotte are here.
Yeah, and I also like we get this hint at like, are they gonna want to try to take down the Volturi for realsies?
Right.
Like they're sort of dancing around this idea where everyone's like, no, we're
just
that's like
crazy.
We're just
witnessing,
trying to quell this thing. Like,
yeah.
But you know, we see more and more people gathering. We'll see, and you know, we'll see what happens in the next chapter. But like even here, I'm getting that sort of sense, and I think you get it a lot from Kate.
Yeah.
And like especially Kate, but somewhat a little bit of like Tanya too, where they're like, this is deeper than I thought it was.
Uh-huh.
Should we be doing something about this?
Yeah, should we be preparing?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, yeah. That's chapter 31. I had issues with this, but I did ultimately really like getting more info on vampire powers.
It's about
like,
time.
People's different, and we get more in the next chapter too. I just like it.
I
think it's too late, but it's not too little. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I feel the exact same way because I fucking love superheroes. Okay, like
yeah,
it's so fun. I love magic powers. I love special powers that like you get assigned one special power that's not like, oh yeah, we're all just learning magic.
Yeah,
it's just like this is your born gift or whatever. Fucking fun.
Yeah, it's cool. I think that's fun. I think that's always fun in these sorts of books because then you, as a reader, get to sort of be like, oh, it might be.
Exactly. That's the most
it's the
fun
same,
part.
And that's what happened. I think that's what's very successful with a lot of young adult books.
Yeah.
What teenagers read. It's just like very, you get
if
to
I
put
was
yourself
special,
in
what
the
would
book.
I be? Mm-hmm.
Right. If I went to Hogwarts, what house would I be in? If I was a demigod, who would my parent be? If, you know, like all these other things. And if I was a vampire in the Twilight world, what would my superpower be?
Yeah.
And I think that's like a really effective thing. Like, yeah, if I was in Divergent, like what, like their fucking tribe house? I don't know what they're called. Sector? I don't remember what they're called.
Yeah, that so was a, dumb.
It was a dumb book series,
what
but whatever.
Fucking flop.
Divergent to me is like, and I know it isn't. I know if I reread it, I would be like, okay, this isn't. But like, I don't know why the vibe of it is like, if like YA book AI was out like 10 years ago.
No, it's so
good. You know
it
what
is.
I mean? It's
literally,
just like, let's just hit all the marks of a YA fan, like book without, without having any fucking soul.
Of a YA dystopia. I mean, there have been a million Vines and then TikToks and then YouTube videos about the like spins the wheel. What if I wasn't allowed to be wearing blue and spins
right.
the wheel. Oh no, I love this boy, but also this boy. Like it's so formulaic and
yeah,
pointless.
And like, yeah, and it wasn't AI, obviously, and that's
no,
kind of
yeah.
you know, disrespectful to the author probably. But like, it was just so soulless and didn't feel
completely.
It felt like it was so formulaic that it feels like it was like generated.
Exactly.
Yeah, like on a wheel, as people have made it out to be.
Absolutely, just like generated and. Completely, it didn't say anything about the world whatsoever.
Yeah, it really tried.
But I was like, what is the points of
anything,
like somebody's...
It was sort of like, and I don't remember how the books like ended up going, but like I get what they were sort of trying to get at. Like, if you're too obsessed with honesty, if you're too obsessed with like justice in a very specific type of justice, if you're too like, you know, if you'd care too
right.
much about
you
these different things,
you shouldn't be just one thing, you should aspire
right.
to be lots
and
of
sure.
things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I there's a way in which I could see that, but I still think it was silly.
Oh, it is, because it's like, what does this say about the world when you're like, oh no, but you have to live in this society, this clan or whatever, only who is dedicated to only this? I'm like, what
yeah.
world would be built that
you're nice to people? Cringe, 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 cringe. Like,
I don't know. It's like, so what? Fucking weird to me.
And also, we're all corrupt. And it's like, oh, okay.
Okay, sure, whatever.
And, but anyway, what I was sort of like saying with that is I think it's effective in teenage things because I think a lot of teens are sort of figuring themselves out and like to attach to identities. And this is sort of, you know, where you get like, quote unquote, like, phases in like teenagers and like young adults,
or like, you're trying, emo phase, trying things or, out and you're like, you're which trying
things
me?
Out for size. And I think that that's the YA like series, like that whole business and like genre and that whole era starting up really latched onto that in a very effective way. And this is just like another thing of that, that I like, this is an element of like YA-ness that I had no idea was a concept in Twilight.
Right. Yeah.
And of course it comes very late. So, I mean, I don't know how much it influenced really Twilight fandom, but it still is interesting that it like, it does have that aspect to it.
Yeah.
Of like, you can be special. And if you were to turn in this like fantasy world, what would you have?
Yeah.
And like, that's, I think that's something that's, just I had no idea it was a thing, and I think it's cool because I'm like, oh yeah, this is so Harry Potter, this is so Percy Jackson, like I'm annoyed that it's happening so late in the books, but I find it cool. It's like check mark Stephanie Meyer off the box of of YA things,
literally. Like, nice. chapter 32 is called Company because Company is coming. We have to look, everyone throw out the couches. We can't make it look like we sit.
Stop. Because actually.
This whole chapter mostly feels like a rundown of like, let's just quickly get through. We've got a bunch of different vampires. Here they all are. By the way, Bella's practicing her power. Like,
yeah.
They're just like, we don't have time to get through all this. One chapter. Here's our people. Let's go.
Yeah.
Also,
fair enough.
You know? It's fine. Like, I'm not mad about it. I want to see our superhero team rundown. So the thing
let's,
is,
let's run it down.
Let's run it down. But let's start with the fact that the vampires arriving, aside from like Tanya's clan, are not vampire vegetarians.
Yeah.
So they are.
This is insane.
They decide, okay, just don't eat in within the state, go out of state to feed. So they're like, we're gonna condone murder right now as much as you all need to eat. Just go to like British Columbia, please. Go up to Vancouver, terrorize them.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And then we move on with it. Insane. It's never touched on again.
And it's very much like Jacob didn't like it. We were all like, whatever, and then we moved on.
Right.
But it's like, you can't just do that.
They're just like, just... But Renesmee like, is very my, important.
You want my Porsche? Like, you can take my Porsche to go do some murder upstate. Like, it's okay. Come on.
Oh yeah,
which is kind of just cunty, take the Volvo real honest. Quick. Yeah, you know he's like pissed at Alice and letting people use her sports cars too.
Yeah, yeah.
Very petty, very cunty. I kind of fuck with it.
I do too.
But yeah, insane that they're just like, bye, have fun murdering, and
don't also murder the other our thing people. That is,
right. The other thing that really gets me at the beginning of this is that Jacob is sort of invisible to them. It says not quite a person, but also not food either. They treated him the way people who are not animal lovers treat the pets of their friends. Treating Jacob like a pet is exactly what he deserves. And I'm here for it.
I mean, Rosalie.
And that's so slay.
Rosalie knew from the beginning. She made him a dog bowl. She called him a dog the whole time. She's like, finally, people who see what I see.
Yeah. Oh, God. So, so funny.
All right. Rundown. We've got our Irish clan rolling up. First of all, Siobhan. This description makes me so uncomfortable. Stephanie Meyer is trying to describe her as being so imposing and powerful and beautiful, but then says things like her huge body and her smooth undulations.
Yeah.
So she's fat.
Yeah. It's like,
I'm not sure that you believe that she's as beautiful as you say she is if you're saying things like smooth undulations.
Yeah, and like calling it immense presence.
Come on.
Fat people have immense presence because they're fat.
Because
their like
huge body.
Because they undulate, they have undulations and they undulate all over the place. It's like, okay.
Okay, I guess we have
seals here. They don't have curves, they have smooth undulations.
God.
I can't wait to come to your house and undulate all over the place. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. It's going to be so slay.
When we just undulate all over the goddamn place.
Me and the girlies undulating. Oh my god, do I look like I have a lot of smooth undulations today?
Girl, your undulations are fucking slaying. Never seen them so smooth before.
I've never seen your presence so immense.
Girl, that huge body.
Damn, girl. Your presence is immense.
At least we have proof that fat vampires exist, I guess.
Thank God. Yeah.
Thank God.
Finally.
You know,
I think there's also the ability to interpret this as just being like very like tall and like muscular and imposing. Well, I agree with you, but I think there's like another way to see it as well.
I don't think
either way is like great in the way that it's described. I think because like the smooth undulations makes it more seem like fat than it like does. Jacked.
Yeah.
I do want her to marry me though.
Sure. Yeah.
Like she just seems like she would dominate me.
You know what's crazy? Is like Stephanie Meyer said that there aren't black vampires because their melanin gets seeped away.
Yeah.
But she's like, I really thought that she would be the type to say like, oh no, there's no fat vampires because they need to be very muscular and lithe or whatever.
Yeah.
So their fat gets melted
strong.
Away. Right?
Yeah.
But she's like, no, they can keep the fat. And I'm like, wow, thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I'm grasping at fucking straws.
Literally at straws.
Yeah. We get... Yeah,
I am
so
smoothly
Siobhan,
undulating to get some straws.
Yeah, me is smoothly undulating my way over to find some straws. Yeah, so Siobhan is big and powerful.
Uh-huh.
Liam doesn't
is there.
Have... He's hard-faced.
Liam is there.
Liam's mewing the whole time. Liam is getting that jawline.
Maggie's
adorable.
Is adorable, and she has red curls, and she knows when she's being lied to. That's a great power.
Yeah, I really like that. I would love to have that power.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, she basically is like, "Yep, they're telling the truth. We good to go." And they're like, "Sweet,
imagine
we're all on board."
How annoying that would be, though. Like with like white lies that people do.
Oh my god.
If we're
playing
all being
poker.
FR with ourselves. No, but if we're all being FR
no,
with ourselves, like everyone tells little white lies all the time.
Yeah, you weren't sleeping. You were playing Baldur's Gate 3.
Shut the fuck up. That's actually not true. I was late to this recording because I was asleep, but I did have the Baldur's Gate 3 like opening screen open for fucking 5 hours. I never touched it. And M thinks I'm lying. I actually wasn't. Anyway. But yeah, when I told you I was just going to get water and get right on, that wasn't true. I watched some TikToks.
Yeah, clearly. I was like, it does not take 20 minutes. Are you going to the
Jeez.
Town well?
Yeah, I was on my way. I was smoothly undulating to the town well.
So yeah, anyway. It would be very annoying for everyday conversation.
Right, where it's just like, and this is like, it's a harmless lie for the most part. And it's like, but she's like, ding, 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 ding. Well, actually, you weren't doing that.
Like someone
so
lies,
shut up.
Lies, and she just goes, eh.
Loud, incorrect buzzer. I hope that that's how she actually physically goes, or ding.
Oh, sorry. Like, I was just in the shower. Okay, sorry. I wasn't in the shower. I was just brushing my teeth. Okay, fine. I was pooping. Yep, that's right.
Ding. Exactly. Yes. So Maggie listened to Edward and she was like, ding, he's right. And then they didn't even have to
do anything.
I mean, they did like Renesmee, but they didn't even have to touch her to know.
So the Egyptians roll up. Aemon does not want to touch Renesmee at all, even after he learns the truth. And his pals, Benjamin and Tia, were convinced and did the whole Renesmee power thing. And he won't allow his mate, Kebby, to touch her either. So,
yeah.
Controlling much.
Stephanie Meyer straight up said all Egyptians look alike, which is fucking insane. Oh,
I know. God. She says so much in this chapter.
You whitewashed them and we still can't fucking escape your racism. I mean, we're not escaping it because you're fucking whitewashing everyone. But, like,
it goes even it's further.
Like, insane. No. Yeah. Like, oh, God.
Yeah. Benjamin is sort of like, you know, I want to, like, he basically calms him down and is like, listen, like, I want to stay. So, like, if you get lost, like, I'm not gonna go with you. I'm staying here. So.
Right.
And Eliezer is, like, staring a lot. And Bella's like, you know, he must be, like, detecting his gift or whatever. And Edward's like, yeah, his gift is so powerful that Aemon is actually terrified of losing him as an ally. And he actually created Benjamin because of how powerful he knew he would be and wants to keep him away tomorrow.
Yep.
So Benjamin's the avatar.
No, literally, that's what I mean. As my note, I was like, okay, Avatar Benjamin.
Water. Earth. Fire. Air. Long ago, the four nations lived together in harmony.
Until like, one day, the Fire Nation attacked.
Only the Avatar, master of all four elements. Yeah.
Oh my God. He's that. Wow. Throwback. He is. It's so funny.
He literally controls earth, fire, air, and water. Like, that's his whole thing.
But I'm does like, he control green?
Does he control green?
Do you know this? From Lego Ninjago. Okay. This is a poll.
That's a poll.
I think it's Lego Ninjago. Okay, there's this audio that's trending on TikTok right now, which you wouldn't know because you're not on TikTok anymore, which is so good of you.
I just wait for somebody to send me stuff.
Yeah, it's like, your power is green. And he's like, let me get this straight. We have earth, fire, water, lightning, and green. And it's like this old, like, wise man being
oh
like,
oh my God.
And I know your power, it's manifested. It is green. Anyway, that's where that's coming from.
You know, I gotta say,
that's my bi-weekly TikTok education for you.
I gotta say, the Lego movies slap every time. They hit. Yeah. They always.
They're all iterations of, like, Lego
nonsense.
Media, like, visual media is so fucking funny.
So funny.
They, like, take themselves. It's so unserious. It's that it is perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good. But then, like, even, like, the Lego movie, it's so fucking unserious, but then it has, like, that moment of, like, father-son bonding.
Yeah.
And you're like, why am I crying over the Lego movie? What just happened? Like, where did this come from?
We're out here talking about the fucking peace of resistance, and now I'm crying about a father-son relationship.
Right. It's like, where did this come from? It was so out of left field. It was in another fucking state getting eaten by vampires.
One of those vampires is Garrett.
Bringing it back.
Got long hair. He's an adventurer type. Likes a challenge. He gets along with the Denali girls right away. And I'm like, well, they're hot. And he's got eyeballs. Gonna say,
this guy is so like, me and the boy just go climbing all the time, you know?
Yeah, we pack
I'm
that.
Like, I go camping.
Totally. You know, just open up a couple cans of humans and just kick back and relax, you know?
Go on a cold one with the boys.
Also,
they were like, I wonder if vegetarianism is another challenge he would try to see if he could do it, which I think is very funny.
Which he would do just to pull a girl. Like, that's the vibe.
Yeah, sounds like he would for sure.
Yeah.
I am obsessed with him. I think he's funny. Like, I think his like stereotype concept is hilarious.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, we've all met this guy, and then imagining that guy getting turned into a vampire is so funny. It's so funny.
Yeah. Then there's Mary and Randall, which don't get any description whatsoever. So no surprise, I forgot that these were even characters. I was
Understandable.
Like, who's Mary and Randall? These sound like
they
my parents' friends. Like, they sound like they're boomers who are retired and they live on the side of the lake in my parents' neighborhood.
Yeah, Bella and Edward are trying to explain Renesmee. They're like, what's that, Johnny? Like, like, there's like... Like, who the fuck is named Randall anymore? Sorry if your name is Randall and you're listening, but, like, get a name. That's
get
better.
A different name.
Change your name. Thoughts?
Yeah. They don't get a single description. They're just like, they're here. Anyway,
they listened and stayed to witness like the others is literally what it says.
She needed to beef up the numbers, and she's like, ah, let's spin the wheel. Mary, Randall, great, you're here.
Yeah, it's giving Mormon. Anyway.
It really is. So finally everyone's returned home from searching for all their allies.
Wait, there's also one thing. Who? Did we get there?
Well, that's when Alistair shows up.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, so Carla brings his friend Alistair, who's not really a friend, who's basically shunned society, and is like, Carlisle's so my closest acquaintance. He's giving Bunker Vampire, who is afraid of like any authority, and they're gonna put chips in his brain.
Yeah, they're that's absolutely. He's like, he doesn't have a phone because he doesn't want China getting his information.
Right,
because
like he's here, and he's like, oh, you know, if something happens with the Volturi and like they're being corrupt, like I want to be there to witness it, to like know that it's true and this is really happening, because I've suspected that they're fucked up for forever, right?
Yeah, but he's conspiracy theory to the max.
Exactly, but even then he's like, this is gonna mean sentries on the run, that's what this will mean, like they know I'm connected to Carlisle, so I'm gonna have to go on the run, and everyone connected to them for the last 20 years will have to be on lookout. Like he's already like, this is a bad idea, I can't believe I'm here. Like,
yeah, and he like just hides in the attic the whole time.
He does. Fucking big, Nosferatu ass.
Yeah, I was gonna say big me energy, like hiding in my little attic room, being like, fuck, if I talk to someone, they'll know I exist.
Literally you in your attic bedroom right now.
Me RM, like, let me talk quieter so no one knows I exist. I'm making no noise and pretending I don't exist.
You Nosferatu ass.
Person, yeah. Yes.
Okay, also, two Amazonian women suddenly show up. Zafrina and Senna, thanks to Alice finding them.
Them to marry me.
I know.
They're the only girlfriends, thing is, right?
I think I'm they're sorry. Girlfriends. Like I was very under the impression that Zafrina, Senna, and Kachiri are a throuple girlfriend squad.
Yeah.
Because they talk about how it's painful to be away from her for too long. Right. And I'm like, so they're bonded mates, right? Like all three of them.
Yes, and they literally say Senna is always near Zafrina.
Exactly.
But it's like, not she's the same as Aemon and Kebi, where like Kebi like
follows like, they obediently.
Directly compare them to mates. Yeah. But it's like, it's just the only difference is that like it seems like Senna has more of a say than Kebi does. And it's like, maybe women listen to other women more than a man will listen to a woman. It's like, so interesting how like interesting. The mated male female has the female doesn't fucking talk, and it's actively less. Said that it seems obedient.
Yeah.
Whereas Senna and Zafrina, one's just more outgoing, or one talks for the two of them, and they like, both have equal opinions.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting.
The other,
and like Stephanie Meyer, like didn't even do that purposefully.
No,
and it's
there's
so funny.
No way. The other thing is, see, on one hand, lesbian vampires from South America. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, Bella, quote, never met any vampires less civilized.
Yeah, it's giving, like, barbarianism.
It's giving
like,
barbarianism.
It's, so
it's giving the women of color are the ones that are savages.
Right.
Come on. Can you not have said that about fucking, like, Garrett or something?
Yeah! Bro literally lives out in the wilderness and doesn't talk to anybody.
I know.
And is a nomad. They're like... And of course, like, the people... Like... It's so annoying. It's just this, the same sort of thing we talked about differently, though, but similar to how we talked about Leo, this like exoticism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And barbarism, especially with like, I don't know why Stephanie Meyer does it with like women. I think it just happens that, but I don't know. Like Leah is also like the very like negative.
Yeah.
Doesn't ever want to turn into a human. Like, it's like very, and she's like quote unquote wild, and also literally is actively described as exotic.
Yeah.
So it's like,
what is
what
up with this?
What is going on? We know what's going on, but like, it's just weird. And it's weird that she does it.
It's very
fetishizing.
I think
there's more opportunity, but she does it so much with just women specifically.
I know.
But you know, actually they're not women of color because they went away. Well, actually it's not racist.
God.
No, it's just more racist.
It's just more
it's just
racist.
Somehow even worse. Yeah.
Yeah, so I love these women, and I'm sad that they're being
put
done
in boxes.
Yeah, they're being put in boxes. Yeah. They're being done dirty. Zafrina has illusion powers, which is very fun.
So cool. And I think it's cool. They like have animal skin like outfits, and it's like, I get that. Like, Stephanie Meyer is trying to do that to be like, they're so wild. They only wear animal skins. But then, like, I think about it and I'm like, well, they don't really interact with people ever.
Right.
Like, when are they ever going to go to the mall?
Yeah. If they're living in the Amazon, that is what.
Do they hunt people? I don't remember if these people, if they hunt people.
They do. So they, you know.
But maybe they bloody up their clothes too much.
Yeah. But they're also described as, like, Amazonians. So I don't think they're over in fucking our best place ever, Rio. you know, partying it up
with Jesus.
Jesus, which might not be there anymore, according to our last episode. Jesus could have been moved
y'all
somewhere
put
else.
Him in some places. We'll find that out later.
Well, oh god, that's to look forward to. So yeah, I mean, they definitely hunt humans, but I think they're also just very, like, not concerned with conforming to a human society at all, which slay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Edward starts to teach Bella to fight, but as soon as he, like, gets her pinned once, he's basically
we do know that Alice is taking vampires elsewhere.
That's true.
I didn't
want
to bring that up first before we start
talking
about that.
That's such a good point. I almost skipped right over that because Kachiri's not with them because Alice
needed
her.
What's her name? What was it? What's the third one's name?
Kachiri.
Kachiri. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I couldn't find it on the page. But yeah, so she's with Alice.
Yeah. So
big
we know
question
that.
Question mark there.
But it, like, Bella finds that a comfort. Because she's like, okay, so Alice is doing something still actively to help us, even if we don't know why she's gone. Like, she's still working on something. She's
Which
got
is
a plan.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to find out what the hell this is.
Yeah. So Edward does start teaching Bella to fight, but basically he's like, actually, I can't bear it, because if he starts analyzing her like a target, it makes him essentially realize how many openings she leaves and what her weaknesses are, and it freaks him out, which, like, actually, it's kind of valid. Like, it's one thing where she's like, you should teach me, like, you're one of the best at fighting and I need to learn, but I think it would be hard for you to be like, oh yeah, we're gonna be in this fight potentially against people that are centuries old and really powerful, and all I see when I try and teach you is all the ways they'll kill you fast, you know?
Yeah,
like, that sucks.
I think we, like, I still stand by, like, my shitting on him for, like, not wanting her to learn to fight.
Yeah,
but I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with this part of him being like,
me neither.
It's just like,
he says, just get someone else to teach you. Like, other people will be able to teach you just as well. Just, like, ask someone else.
Right.
It'll be fine.
And we love our training arcs of, like,
we sure do.
You know, and we love that. And there's a lot of times where we love, like, the romantic interests who maybe aren't even romantic interests yet, or maybe they are, like, teaching each other. And it's like, sexual tension. So, like, on the one hand, it's like, we see those. That evidence, and we're like, okay, why can't it be here? But on the other hand, I don't think there's anything wrong with Edward being, like, too sensitive and, like, afraid for her to be able to put himself through that.
Yeah.
I still don't like that he doesn't want her to learn at all, but it's kind of refreshing for me to see that side of it, because I so often read the other side of it,
right,
where it's like, we have to like, sort of like this tough love that sometimes isn't even love at, like, the time or at all,
and he's just,
and,
like, the opposite of,
and
he's
just like,
I
love
much.
You so much that I can't do this.
Yeah.
Like, you go learn from somebody else, but I can't do this. Like, there's a part of it that annoys me, but part of it that's like, it's kind of refreshing to see this side of that relationship instead of, like, just, like, the hard ass asshole guy being, like, mean and, like, physically attacking this girl that we see so much.
We do,
especially, like, an unexperienced fit, like, fighting wise girl who just, like, gets knocked on her ass all the time.
Yeah, just,
and
like,
we see
in
that
Divergent.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Our
favorite book series, Divergent.
Let's just only reference Divergent from now on. No more Throne of Glass references. Only Divergent. Jeez. I've had enough out of you. Quit your yapping.
So anyway, training montage. Rosalie and Tanya and Eliezer and Garrett all are helping, and even Zafrina, but Bella admits, the wild woman scared me to death. Actual quote.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
white girl is insane. Afraid of the women of color, savage from the rainforest. Great. Good.
Yeah. Wonderful. I'm shocked.
Yeah. Never seen that before.
Never before. Mm-mm. Never once happened. I do appreciate that, like, Renesmee, though, like, loves Zafrina.
And,
like,
I know. Zafrina loves Renesmee. It's so cute.
Renesmee's like, show me all the pretty pictures you can do.
Yeah.
Like, because obviously Zafrina is just showing her nice things. And we know that, you know, we've only seen Zafrina show people, like, the forest.
The rainforest. Or, like, yeah. So it's like, look at these cool, you know, like, that sort tree of thing. Frogs. And look at this fucking jaguar. And, you know, like, look at all these beautiful but flowers.
We know that she can, because she can put whatever illusion up we want. We've seen her put in all these random, very nice illusions.
Yeah.
We know that there's the power here to create
nightmares.
Give you
your worst fear, absolutely.
Yeah, so cool.
Yeah.
Excited to see that play out, hopefully. It probably won't ever fucking play out because Stephenie Meyer hates us and hates fun.
Yeah. That's a sexy power. Especially because she can do it. She can do it to more than one person at a time. Like, it's a full, like, area effect.
Yeah, it's AoE.
It's AoE.
It's AoE. It's got massive AoE.
You know, I'm always thinking about AoE, and that's a good one.
I'm always thinking about AO3. I'm literally not. I don't read fanfic.
Damn. Couldn't be me.
Yeah. This is a joke for you.
Yeah, I know.
For the people.
It's by the people. So she also practices her power in another training montage where she's been practicing with Kate, who basically is shocking Edward over and over again while Bella tries to stretch her shield to protect him because it's motivation. She's just
but
lacking
it's not motivation
incentive.
Enough.
She's lacking incentive. So Kate starts putting together an idea, and of course Edward reads her mind and is like, are you sure about that? And Kate's
are you
like,
sure about that?
Hey, Renesmee, what if you help? Smile. And Nessie, just like a fucking ray of sunshine, is like, Mama, I want to help, and just like runs into Bella's arms as Kate like predatorily stalks towards them.
Yeah.
Wild
and Bella
choice.
Goes into like overbearing mother mode.
Truly.
Like mother protection, like predator
mama
mode.
Bear.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah,
I was looking for
definitely mama bear. Her like
but
vision
hey,
tints
and then it
red.
Works.
Yeah, it fucking works. Yeah. She's like, I can see it my works. Shield perfectly. I know exactly where it is. Boom, Renesmee's protected. Boom, Edward's protected. I've got them.
Yeah, fuck you guys.
Fuck you. And Zafrina then uses her power on everyone, basically to test how far Bella can stretch it out past where she's already got it. So she's like, raise your hand once you don't see my illusion anymore. And she manages to get to Kate and then a bit further out to Garrett before it basically snaps back like a rubber band. So fucking cool. Proof of concept.
Yeah. So we've seen her protect four people other than herself, which is a lot.
It is.
That's pretty cool.
Meanwhile, Garrett's horny.
It is exhausting for her.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, what?
Garrett's horny.
So true.
Literally, you can't tell me he's not. Like,
where is this? I think I read over this.
Oh my god. So,
Kate, where he's like, Kate.
Kate, I heard your power is not, you know, it's, I think people are exaggerating. It can't be that bad. And she's like, oh yeah, want to try? And she's all flirty and waggling her fingers at him.
I love it.
And
I love it.
He's like, I heard it can bring a man to his knees. And she's like, yeah, but maybe it only works in like the young or like the weak. So maybe
you're
you'll stand
weak.
Up to it.
I wish she was like,
you're pretty weak,
so it'll probably work.
So yeah, then he basically touches her palms and keels over backwards and like hits his head on the ground. And he like looks up like completely awed. He's like, whoa. Damn, that's crazy.
I love this. He's like, I love women that hurt me.
He's like, that woman put me to my knees and I will stay here for her.
It's so funny.
It's kind of
I love seeing them fall in love. Yay.
It's giving us at the aquarium with the electric eel.
Stop! Me looking at the electric eel thing and it goes, you look lonely. I can fix that.
And we're like, bzz, bzz, bzz,
bzz. Yeah. I am in Blade Runner. hot titty woman is just the eel thing, like the eel machine at the aquarium.
Okay.
It's a tingle.
Yeah, it is.
So funny. All right, man. Anyway, the aquarium again. Feel the eel tingles.
Yeah, I'm always thinking about them eel tingles.
FR.
So anyway, someone new arrives. No one sent them, but a couple of bros show up and they're like, there's been talk around town that you're standing up to the Volturi and we fucking hate them.
Yeah.
We're here to help.
And they're Romanians.
They're Romanians.
They're real vampires.
They are the real vampires. And they're like, we have been waiting like a millennium and a half to challenge the Italian scum. And I'm like, fuck yeah.
Did we get lore of like the Italians overthrowing the Romanians before and I just forgot about it?
No, this is new. This is new.
Okay. Because
Breaking Dawn is nothing but.
The Italian are. Are like new lore that we should have known before, and they're just like, here's this.
I know. This book is nothing but, hey, fun new lore, by the way, at the end of the series. Didn't you want to know?
And it's all going to be relevant.
It is. All of it.
Yeah.
Fucking love them. I'm so glad that Stefan and Vladimir have shown up.
Dude. Most Romanian names I can fucking think of.
You know,
I find like the most Eastern European names I can think of.
Can
and
I just
like
say,
roll up with them?
Are you not excited to see this cast in the movie?
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
So
they're
many new
be
faces.
Just so goofy.
Well, because like we've had the same people for the entire series thus far.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, 17 new people.
It's gonna be great. It's gonna be so great.
Yeah. 17 additional
I'm so
witnesses,
excited.
4 Denalis, 21 vampires have now come to their aid, and it may be
you
the largest gathering of friendly
for?
Vampires in immortal history. Yeah, what's up?
You know who I'm looking and waiting for? What's his name? Freaky Fred. Is that a name? Is that
oh,
his name?
Yeah, Fred, yeah.
Where the fuck is bro at? I want him to come back.
I think he's in
I
Canada.
I
want to
see him. Damn, I wish he would come back.
No, once we're here, we can't escape.
You're trapped in Canada.
Yeah, yeah, it's a known thing, known affliction.
Okay. Yeah, I happened to live.
Yeah, it did.
I love that this new concept we're getting, that the Italians are the overlords because they at some point overthrew the Romanians.
I know.
Which was like, you know, and I never thought this really consciously, but, you know, you think Romanian, like vamp, like that whole like Eastern European, like Transylvania, like mm-hmm. Romania, mm-hmm. like this is like this... origin of vampires.
Dracula.
But that's this origin of vampires that we sort of get. And I was like, why are they never in this? And I was like,
right.
Okay, whatever. They're just going a different direction, which is fine because that happens all the time.
Yeah.
In like retellings with like old creatures that are then put into modern stories.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so cool that we are suddenly, I mean, it's like, all right, this is out of left field and really late in the game. But on the other hand, it's like, cool. Like they are like, alive and they were the powerful people at some point.
Yeah, that was
because that makes a lot of sense.
They're like, man, I wish we were in the Dracula days. That shit was tight.
Yeah,
then
back to the good old days.
Yeah, so that's the end of the chapter.
Yeah,
wanna read where Rio Jesus is moving to?
I wanna know where you guys put Rio Jesus so bad. I've been thinking about it all day.
Yeah, okay. We have a lot of responses to this, so I'm going to rapid
Thank
fire through them.
Thank you so much for responding to our questions on the podcast. They make me so happy.
They're so fun.
And this one is like one that I'm particularly excited about. Thank you for responding.
Okay. From Nothing, Antarctica, let him hang with the Emperor Penguins. From
Very good.
Eleanor, definitely on the moon or Mars. If it has to be on Earth, just the middle of the ocean somewhere. Want people to believe in aliens. From
yeah, like put him in the Bermuda Triangle.
Right, yeah.
You know?
From
like,
Max.
How do you get there? So weird.
Better question is, does Rio Jesus have a respawn rate where he respawns in different places? If so, I want him to be like those metal statues that appeared and then disappeared for a while and came back. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
I forgot about
Me
that.
Me too. Crazy.
That's such a good point. Yeah, give him, yeah.
Okay.
And the top of like the mountain in Rio is like 00 on this
yeah,
map.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he just like flits around.
Yeah. Jam says Texas State Fair, replace Big Tex but keep the cowboy outfit.
Have you seen this? This is great.
I actually haven't.
Look up Texas.
Oh my God.
State. Yeah.
No, that's perfect.
Yeah. Okay. We keep the cowboy.
Yeah.
We keep the cowboy and just Rio Jesus is there next to him.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
So, oh, that's great. So funny.
Okay, from Meg on Emily's balcony. I don't know why. She tried to spawn him into the West Edmonton Mall and did it wrong. Okay.
I think putting it on your balcony would be good. I think that would be how you could finally get rid of all those birds on your balcony.
So true. From Maddie on the Las Vegas Pyramid. I think it'll really help with the gambling.
Oh, very good. Like, bring in the Christians with that. Uh-huh. Even like a whole... If Rio Jesus says it's okay to gamble, then you got okay to gamble.
Yeah. Johnny Deucebox says, I would move it to Mount Rushmore and make it look like Teddy Roosevelt is blowing Jesus. Oh, God. Okay.
I like your choice of Teddy Roosevelt specifically. Yeah, I think that's the best option there.
Okay, from O... Greenland, they need to boost their tourism. All right.
Yeah, put him
from
there.
From Vilma Palo, I would move him under the Eiffel Tower just to make him feel small.
Yeah. Like, just put him next to it and be like, ha ha, Rio Jesus is short.
From Chandler, next to Touchdown Jesus in Ohio, look it up. I don't need to look it up. You think I don't know Touchdown Jesus to in up. Ohio? My future wife is an Ohioan. I know who that is.
Would we put Rio Jesus superimposed into the ground like this Jesus too?
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, would he be like only like belly button up, but he's just T-posing instead?
Yeah.
This is good to me. This is something I enjoy. Thank you for informing me of this.
It's very good.
Wow. He has the cross with him and everything.
I know. Okay. Wow. That's so fucking funny. From Sid Milby, Epcot, so you can drink around the world with Rio Jesus.
Oh my God, so true. You could get like a little, they would make like merch of this immediately.
Oh, 100%.
Get your $25 Rio, like 2-inch Rio Jesus plushie.
100%.
Take around with you, and it's Disney branded now. Rio Jesus is under Disney's umbrella.
From Julia, put it in the ocean at some coast, but just deep enough that its head sticks out and watches you chilling at the beach.
Yeah. At like low tide, his arms are above
his
water.
His arms start showing.
Yeah, so you can see him T-posing, but then, yeah. Imagine you're at the beach, right?
I'm imagining.
Rio Jesus is there.
Yeah.
He's all, as he always is, you know?
Yeah.
And a tsunami comes. But the first thing you see is the water receding. And slowly Rio Jesus rises from the deep.
Oh, God. This is so horrible, but I think the coast needs to be where tsunamis happen more regularly then, just so that phenomenon can... It's
unfortunately, that is true.
It's Jesus warning you to run.
True. Jesus. Okay, your first sign of a tsunami is when Jesus shows up.
Okay. Ivan says in the middle of Stonehenge, turning it into a summoning circle.
Oh, very good.
That's clever. I like it.
I like this.
Kate says, I'm afraid of giant statues and often dream of them being in my wooded backyard, so I'd probably move it to my backyard for a few hours just for the thrill of it.
Is that your sister?
Not that I know of.
I don't think it is, but it would be really funny if it was.
Really funny.
I like that you say, I'm afraid of it, so I want to put it right next to me.
Crazy. No, but it's like me specifically looking up pictures of spiders to like desensitize myself a bit for my fear of spiders. And I'll just like get shivers for like 30 minutes or something and be like, all right, that's enough.
Dude, yeah. You guys are fucking insane, but okay. That's fine, I guess.
From Summer T. Fox, Liberty Island. It's giving one bed and a small inn vibes. I'm sure Lady Liberty is lonely.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. So true. Wow. What if they kissed?
They would kiss.
Yeah.
Finally. My fanfic is complete.
Which statues do you ship? Let us know in the comments.
yeah, let us know what giant statues you ship. That's like, that should be our next question, actually. Continue first, though, if we have more.
Colton says, I'd swap it with the Eiffel Tower, confuse the fuck out of everyone. Totally. And then lastly, Nicky Knack says, Mars. No elaboration.
Yeah. Yeah, he can let us know if there's aliens there. We should, like, install, like actual, like, camera eyes in Rio Jesus, and we put him on Mars. Like, sort of like the baby in Squid Games.
Right, yeah, because instead
and it can,
of...
like, it can, like, shoot lasers at any aliens that try to go on Mars.
Yeah, because I'm sure the Mars rovers have all just, like, missed the aliens over the decades that they've been there.
Yeah, I think so. That's what I'm saying. But okay. they would trust Rio Jesus.
Well, yeah, especially if he has the laser eyes, so...
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, these were really, really good answers. Thank you so much.
Is our next question really going to be about shipping statues?
Okay, well, what do you want it to be?
I don't know. I was going to be like, what would be your vampire power?
Okay, you know what? Our official question could be, what would be your vampire power? But if you would like to also write in and let us know what giant statues you ship together, please let us know.
Yeah.
My final answer is Rio Jesus and the giant Blade Runner hot porn girl.
My final answer is... the giant lobster in New Brunswick and the giant pierogi in Manitoba.
These are good. That's better than mine. Mine were like callbacks. Yours were like completely fresh.
That was good. We have some giant statues that I have seen.
Yeah. Very good.
Is the
good.
Giant pierogi in Manitoba, though? I want to fact check that.
Okay.
I assume it is because that's where we have a huge Ukrainian population. Oh, no, it's in Alberta. Yeah.
All right, there we go.
Great.
I want to see this giant pierogi.
Let's go to Alberta.
Okay, say less. What superpower do you think you would have?
Oh, I don't have that one ready. I was ready for the statue.
Okay, we can. How about we circle back and we talk about it at the end of next episode, and we'll both go. We didn't think about this at all since last episode.
Yeah, sounds
we
good.
We still won't know, but we'll let you know.
All right.
This was fun. The next chapters, 33 and 34. That's right.
Yes. Right? Correct.
What's chapter 33 called? I didn't look.
Me neither.
Hold on. I have my Kindle. Let me see. Let me gaze. Forgery is the name of the next chapter, which is insane. And I'm excited. I'm so excited to know what they're going to be forging.
New friendships.
I don't think so, but nice try.
New bonds, new relationships, new weapons.
I hope so. They just get like a little dwarf friend who.
Yeah. You know, yeah. We forgot to mention the dwarves the whole time that were here.
Yeah,
also.
We forgot to mention the seven dwarves showed up.
Okay. We have new patrons to welcome to the squad. Thank you, Risu Squirrel. Risu Squirrel, for joining the Patreon. We appreciate you. We're biting you on the neck consensually. as always. You join the ranks of our master tier vampires, Dan, Thea, Emily, Steven, Cassidy, and Chandler. Thank you all so much for supporting us. We love you.
We appreciate you guys. You guys are awesome. And we appreciate all of our listeners, all of your responses.
It's
have
so
been
fun.
So wonderful.
I love it.
Yeah. Please keep responding to them because they're bringing me such joy. And you guys are way funnier than us. So
yeah. Yeah.
Please do it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to Unbitten. If you want to get in contact with us,
follow us on Twitter at UnbittenPod or subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/UnbittenPod. And for now, the rest is still Unbitten.